And welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Howdy everyone, and thank you for stopping by. Now tonight's episode is a little bit unusual, and it's that way for a good reason. The team and I are frantically working on Thursday's effort, a special episode that's looking to be just as good as it is long, and I think we'll hit the 2-hour mark. But as a result of that, we've had to take Tuesday off this week. Now things will go back to normal next week, so don't worry about that. And I'm not going to leave you high and dry here this evening either. I have 2 Beyond Unlocks to share with you here tonight. A sneak peek at which you can get when you join us in the Monster Squad. So, while we toil away on what is sure to become one of your favorite episodes, please enjoy these Patreon unlocks. Season 18, Episode 45, and Season 18, Episode 41. In that order. Now folks, if you've enjoyed these stories so far, you're really going to enjoy the back half of tonight's episode. Because it's time to go beyond. The after show we put on each and every Thursday. To join us, just hop on the $5 level on either Patreon or Apple subscriptions, and you'll get access to a whole new world. A world filled with hundreds of additional episodes, thousands of calls, and days worth of content. And it's in the beyond that we share stories like Sabrina's, out of the Golden State of California.
Hey Derek, it's Sabrina from California. I'm calling in today about a haunted restaurant that I used to work at and live above. The time period that I worked there was in 2021. But let me just start by saying this place was truly ridiculously haunted. Many people experienced things there. There was 2 apartments on top of the restaurant, I should say. And there's certain drawbacks to living right above where you work, but it was honestly pretty awesome in a lot of ways. There was 2 apartments up there. It was me and another gal. Before I lived up there, the owner's kids lived upstairs, adult children, obviously. They experienced things too. So some of the day-to-day experiences that I would experience were getting locked out, sometimes multiple times a day. There were 3 different entry points. I was a cook at the restaurant as well. Whenever I'd get off work really late and go on my porch to smoke, I would take my house keys with me because it was likely that I was just going to get locked out there. And it just really got to be frustrating. And you would hear things and my stuff would go randomly missing and then turn up in completely bizarre places, like under the couch, things like that. Things from the bathroom that would end up under the couch or something, you know. Maybe you could chalk that up to just normal everyday things being misplaced. But it all seemed to fit together. One time, I was in the kitchen. And from the kitchen, you could see the back door, and it had a glass window above it. This building was quite old, by the way. It was built in 1907. So anyways, the old window is very dusty. And I saw when I was standing in the kitchen one day that there was the imprint of a very small face and set of hands, as if someone had pressed their hands and face up to the window to look through it. It was way too small to be mine. It looked like it had to have belonged to a child. The weird thing was, one day, one of the owners was standing in the kitchen, and he said he saw a young girl peering through the swinging kitchen door window. And he said she looked like she could have been anywhere from 12 to 14, but restaurant hours, they were not open. So there were no guests there. To his knowledge, he was there by himself. There was no way he could explain why a little girl would have been looking in through the kitchen window at him. And I saw the imprint of a child's face and hands on my back door, which I wish I would have taken a picture of. In hindsight, I was so freaked out, like I just cleaned it up immediately, but I wish I would have taken a picture of it. But my ex-boyfriend did actually see it too, so not crazy there. And you know, that could be explained. Maybe someone came up our back steps. Maybe it was a kid playing. Highly unlikely though, because behind the restaurant was just a big parking lot and an alley, and there was backyards of houses that backed up to the alley, but no one ever played in the parking lot. If anything, there were drifters, and I will say that it seemed to maybe have been a homeless person that the owner saw underneath the stairs one time. We're not really sure because they slithered into a crawl space within the building and we didn't see them come out, so we don't know who it was. So maybe it was something weird like that. But going back to the door locking incident, when the owner's kids lived upstairs, they would get locked out all the time too. And one of these times, the owner's daughter left and she had a friend up there by himself, but that was it. And she came back to the apartment to find herself locked out, which was not unusual. And she called her friend to let her in. And when he went to let her in, he let her know, like, hey, that was weird. Did you put a chair up to the front door before you left? And she said, no, I didn't. He said, well, one of those bar stools from the storage room ended up underneath the front door handle, as if someone pushed it up to lock it that way. There was a little storage room in the dining area of the upstairs apartment, and the restaurant kept like bar stools and boxes of old wine and things like that up there. And the friend swears, of course, you know, he wasn't the one to do it. You know, this wasn't even like a funny joke to be played at that point. That was a weird thing that they could never explain. But also the restaurant doors themselves would lock regularly during service. The door leading from the little utility closet to the bar would lock in the middle of service for no reason. So it was just something that everyone was used to. There was also an upper dining area in the restaurant where, as a hardworking cook, sometimes on my break, I would go take a little snooze on one of the booths. I would literally look behind me at times from having my eyes closed, taking a little nap, thinking that someone was there. No one would ever be there, but I couldn't really be in there without feeling watched. And you know, it felt like that in that whole building a lot, and you just kind of get used to it. But another weird thing that happened one time, my friend, my ex-boyfriend and I were standing in the kitchen, which is where the front door was. We were eating pizza or something. We were playing giant Jenga that night, I remember. And my front door led to a back door of the restaurant. It wasn't out of the norm for friends to come over after work and hang out, have some beers, whatever. And it was my day off, obviously. The three of us are standing there in the kitchen. In the front door, we all saw the knob turn. The door swings open, not fast, slow enough and wide enough for a person to come through. We all looked on the other side of the door expecting one of my coworkers to be there. And I was ready to say what's up to whoever was there. I don't know, maybe it was just the energy of that happening felt like there was someone there too. And then the door swung shut and latched back closed. And we all just kind of stood there in silence for a moment, like, do we all just see that? No, yeah, we all agreed it happened. And that was something we couldn't really explain. Kind of weird, especially since we had an issue with always getting locked out. Kind of comical to see seemingly a ghost let themselves in, right? You know, I remember hearing a disembodied growl one night when I was laying there with my dog, going to sleep, so it wasn't my dog. And lastly, there was one night I was sleeping, middle of the night, and I just woke up. And I see this girl not standing, because I honestly want to say I don't remember her having legs. And she was just floating there at the end of my bed, staring not at me, but directly through me, through the wall. I don't know. There was a window above me. It was almost like she was gazing out the window, like she didn't even see me. And she had this like translucent blue hue, which I know sounds like a friggin' movie, but I'm just telling you what I saw. I couldn't believe it. I didn't feel any bad energy, but I sat up on my elbows to to make sure I was seeing what I was seeing. And I blinked. When I opened my eyes, she had turned to the side to face my door. And I just kind of watched her for a second. And then I blinked again, and she was gone. Is it the little girl whose face I saw in the dust on my back door? Is it the little girl who my boss saw through the kitchen doors? I'm not sure. Basically, that's it in a nutshell. Just ridiculously haunted activity, in my opinion. I am a believer, I will say, so obviously that creates a bias for me. I wish I knew the history of the building more, but thanks again so much for all that you do, and take care.
Thank you, Sabrina. It sounds like an awfully active eatery. A lot of activity reported there. Now, full disclosure, I don't know this location either. I can, however, tell you that I suspect this took place somewhere in Northern California, for what that's worth. But regardless, it got me thinking of the most haunted restaurants in California, and to my surprise, a list already exists. So the following is courtesy of CaliforniaHauntedHouses.com, and these are in no particular order, and pronounced to the best of my abilities. The Bordello in Oakland, the Santa Clara House / Carlo Hahn House up in Ventura, the Moss Beach Distillery in Moss Beach, the RMS Queen Mary, docked in Long Beach, the only restaurant on this list that I've had the opportunity to visit. There's the Cosmic Cafe in Placerville, the Clayton City Saloon in Clayton, the Herringbone in La Jolla, Depot Cafe and Restaurant in Magalia, the Sierra Nevada House in Coloma, and the Casa de Mexicano over in Los Angeles. Now, there are several more restaurants listed there, but I'll stop here. The point is that there are a lot of them, and there are so many out there that I have visited that aren't even on the list. So if you like ghosts and food, I have a few vacation recommendations for you. Now, of course, the rest of that list can be found in the description for this post, if you're curious. There's also a quick little description of each haunting there as well, if you fancy a deep dive. Either way, we thank you again, Sabrina, for sharing your call. Good evening, Monster Squad member. Welcome back to the program. Now, I have a very robust episode in store for you tonight. Tales of disembodied sounds, ominous UFOs, and even a haunted townhouse. So strap yourself in, because this ride ain't over yet. And to keep the wheels churning, please welcome our friend David from Massachusetts back to the program.
Hello, Derek. My name is David, and I live in Massachusetts. I recently had a very unsettling personal experience of which I can't explain, and I'm hoping by sharing it, I might get some help to figure out exactly what happened. This took place in the wee hours in the month of May 2020. Being a natural night owl and not working since the middle of March due to COVID-19, I pretty much would not go to bed until around 3 or 4 in the morning every night. This particular evening, I found myself binge-watching my favorite TV show, Paranormal Caught on Camera. After doing this for so many hours, I fell asleep in the chair with the TV still going. Of course, this had nothing to do with the show. I simply fell asleep. It was around 2:30 a.m. when I was awoken by the sound of someone pounding on my front door. This was not knocking. I'm talking pounding, as in bang, bang, bang. I jumped out of my chair, totally startled. Instantly, I thought to myself, did I just dream this? Or maybe it came from the TV? Or maybe I'm starting to hallucinate after being in my house for multiple weeks? It sure sounded very real. Plus, I got the sense the pounding came from the front door, which is behind from the chair I was sitting in, as opposed to the TV that is, of course, in front of me. somehow I got the nerve to go open the door, not knowing what to expect. Right before I opened it up, I made a point to turn on the outside light. When I did this, the light bulb blew out. I took my phone and turned on the flashlight, only to find no one there. Could the fact the light blew out point in the direction of a ghost, or even worse, some type of demon? I can't say it enough. The pounding sounded like it came from a monster, definitely not a human. So far, knock on wood, sorry, that's a bad pun, nothing weird has happened again. My only regret is I should have reversed the episode of Paranormal Caught on Camera to see if that is what I heard. Thanks for all you do. Monsters Among Us knocks, or should I say, pounds. LOL.
Great to hear from you, David. Thank you for the phone call. Now, I gotta admit, David, it was pretty brave of you to open the door up. I'm not sure I would have or could have done that, especially if it sounded like it came from a monster. But I think you just might be onto something, David. Perhaps there was a loud and abrupt sound effect used that startled you awake, but not awake enough, fast enough, to hear that it was coming from the television and not from your front door. But hey, I've had that happen to me, as I've discussed several times before, and I was wide awake when it went down. So I certainly can't sit here and tell you that it didn't happen. Regardless of the cause, David, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. So thank you again for calling in.
I think they're in the top six next year.
These deals won't last.
You ever go car shopping and just walk?
All right, squad, it's time for another call. This one comes to us from parts unknown, but I can say that it was submitted by Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, Derek. My name is Chris, a longtime listener and a first-time caller. Just wanted to share some experiences that I had with my ex in 2009 in a townhome we had just outside of Portland, Oregon. A run-of-the-mill kind of place. Two master bedrooms situated on a second floor, with the kitchen being just below the slightly bigger master, directly beneath it. And that details is important for one of the experiences. At that time, my ex had just gotten a job, and she was working quite a bit of hours. And oftentimes, leaving out the door, she would forget to turn certain things off, you know, a hair dryer or something like that. We also had a steamer that we used to straighten out our clothes and stuff. But this particular instance, I worked just down the street, whereas with her, she had to go into the city. So if she thought that she left something on, she'd give me a call and I would take a small break at my work. I just worked about 5 minutes down the road and I would, you know, run on my break to go check on it. And so it was starting to cause a bit of a strain at work because the requests were becoming kind of frequent. I just remember one night, it was around 9 o'clock or so at night, and we were in the kitchen. She had mentioned that our son at the time, Louie, who was really little, was saying that he was hearing a voice calling his name. It would just say his name, like Louie. It was coming from up the stairs, if I recall. We didn't really think anything of it because there wasn't a lot of furnishings in the house, so echoes had a tendency to kind of travel. This night, we were kind of talking about how my boss had mentioned me coming home for the breaks to check on this stuff. And I said, well, if there was any ghosts or anything here, it would be nice if they could help out to let us know if there's something we were forgotten. And literally just in that moment, I heard a slam directly above us. And as I stated earlier in the call, the bathroom to one of the rooms that we were staying was located directly above the kitchen. And when that happened, it just was so loud. I thought that somebody had come in. I went upstairs And as I was coming up, I'm literally thinking that somebody's inside the room. There wasn't anything that would have just fallen. So my first thought was, there's an intruder. And when I went up the stairs and went into the bathroom, basically when you walk into the rooms, to the left is the bathroom and the rest of the space in the room opens up to the right. I immediately hooked it to the left and saw that the steamer had indeed been left on all day. The reservoir, the water was held empty, and the hook that was holding the nozzle attachment, the nozzle itself came off that hook and had fallen and hit the ground. And I was just freaked out a little bit about that, like trying to figure out, well, what had happened in that moment. I was in shock. My ex had grabbed my attention. She said, oh my God, probably just moments after that. And I went to turn around to go into the main room where she was at now at this point. She basically followed up the stairs just a little bit after I kind of went up initially. Lo and behold, inside of the main floor of this room was a acrylic blanket, you know, like a kid's blanket. And it was our son's blanket. No kidding. This thing was laid out flat. Like, if you can picture taking an acrylic, really soft kind of blanket, laying it out very flat, like you ironed it out really flat, and then taking the center of it and pitched it like a circus tent. This is what I walked into, and we were both aghast as to what we were looking at. This is the scariest thing I've ever seen. It literally looked like a circus tent pitched in the middle of the floor. I'm just trying to understand what I'm looking at with this thing. We'd gotten some video of it, but I think the phone that was on got ruined, and I wish I still had the video of that because it was at such a severe angle, it was impossible. It didn't just fall off the bed or anything like that. And so after recording it, I said, I'm going to touch it, and I did. And it was so staticky that the second I touched it, there was a pop, like if you were to have a static electric discharge from your fingertip, and this thing just uncrumpled and went flat on the floor. That was crazy. And there was another incident. They started doing remodel to the units, and around that time they had finally gotten to our place. They were doing roofing, and I just recall these things whenever they happened was always roughly around the same time. So 9:10:30 maybe for this one. Her and I were inside of that same room. We were just having a conversation, and then just out of nowhere we heard 6 heavy footfalls, boots. You could almost make out like the type of boot. It was so distinct, directly above us. There's no other units above us. It was a 9-foot vaulted ceiling and then the roof. And I thought a construction worker something forgot some tool and that's who was up there. But the direction that those boots were walking were directly to the window that was in that room. So I waited to see if somebody was going to come down there. There was nothing. So I opened up the window, climbed out, and I took a peek on the roof. I didn't see anything. There was nothing up there. But they were extremely distinct. 6 boot footfalls directly above us. The last instance where something really weird happened was I remember getting shook awake from my ex in the middle of the night to the sound of the master bedroom doorknob shaking violently. And it was one of those push button type of locks you'd find in like a condo or an apartment. And I just remember we'd always lock that. We'd always hit the push button whenever we go to sleep for the night. I heard it violently shaking and then a pop. So whatever it was shaking had done it to the point that the lock itself had popped. And I went for my gun because I thought at that point, that's an obvious sign somebody's inside the house. So I had my gun. My dog was on the outside in the hallway at the top of the stairs. And he was always there as kind of like a protector. And the second I opened up the door, I was met with nothing except my dog, who had his tail between his legs, and he hurriedly went into the room. That one was, no pun intended, jarring experience. And so this is back in 2009. Nothing else really happened there these all kind of kicked off about the time the HOA started doing work there on these units. So oftentimes when I think back to then, you know, you would think that hauntings have some sort of intelligence. I think these were really random. Like, there was no intent necessarily. And that what throws me for a loop is whenever someone's shaking a handle or something on a door, you can usually perceive something on the other side of that door. And I didn't. It was an absence of that, and I think that's creepy. But that's it. Keep it spooky. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris, for calling in. More lost videos. Now, it's crazy how often the video evidence of these encounters ends up blurry, damaged, or just flat out missing. This is the second time tonight that that's been brought up. But it sounds like that video evidence would be for the rest of us, Chris. Because I have a funny feeling you don't need any more convincing. And to have your bedroom doorknob shaking while you're trying to sleep. Talk about creepy. Unless, of course, you're at my house. Because if you hear a rattling door around these parts, well, that just means that our cat, Big Izzy, is ready for her third supper. All jokes aside, Chris, it sounds like a hair-raising experience. And we thank you again for sharing with us. All right, folks. All good things must come to an end, and so must tonight's program. But before we wrap everything up for the evening, how about one more entry? Now imagine yourself outside at night. You're gazing up at the stars, and suddenly you see something that will change your life forever. Well, that very thing happened to this anonymous caller from Parts Unknown.
Hi, Derek. I'm going to remain anonymous for this, but I will say this took place in a small town in western Kentucky around 13 years ago, maybe. I've never called this in because it's not that exceptional. It was a once-in-a-lifetime thing for me. So I was working at this, you know, factory job that was way outside the city limits, 10, 15 minutes outside the city limits. There'd be no light pollution when I would go out there at, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So whenever I would get out of my car, the first thing I would do was look up at the sky, and there were more stars than I'd ever seen in my life, just slightly outside the city limits. And I did that every night for, I don't know, 7 years that I worked there. But there was one night when I looked up and I saw a black triangle. My first instinct wasn't, oh my God, that's a UFO. My first instinct was, oh my God, that's not a UFO. And I started running through the list of things that it could possibly be. And that's a pretty short list. But it was what I now know is classic black triangle sighting, since I wasn't really up on any of the common sightings or anything before this. It was large or flying really low. I'm not sure which, maybe both, but it was blocking out a large patch of those many, many stars. It was above the treetops, maybe double the height of the tallest tree. I don't know. I'm not good with distance, but very low, a white light on either point and an orange light in the middle, a very odd color of orange, more like a coral or a peach color. What I thought was the front of the craft, the third top point, is pointing south. And I remember just trying to figure out, like, what the hell is this that I'm looking at, and trying to rationalize it. And I do remember thinking at one point, oh, it's pointing in the direction of Fort Campbell, about an hour and 15 minutes north of Fort Campbell, which is in the infamous Hopkinsville, Kentucky. But that was kind of trying to rationalize it as like, oh, that must be some kind of experimental aircraft. It's going back to Fort Campbell. And I stood there looking at it for maybe 2 minutes, you know, and then someone else has to see this. So I run inside and no one is inside. The shift hasn't started yet. No one's inside. I run back outside and of course it's gone. Really frustrating. And I go around to the side of the building and everyone is outside. And they're at just the right angle to where they're not able to see this. If they would have looked up, it would have been blocked by a corner of the building. supervisor about it, and I remember getting so mad. She was like, well, I don't think there's aliens. And I was like, I didn't say anything about aliens. I said I saw a UFO. And so I never said anything else, you know. Fast forward years later, and I'm working another different factory job in another town. And I'm listening to your podcast at work, and I don't know what episode this is. I was jumping around a lot, but there's a guy who called in from Evansville, Indiana, where I was now working. It's about 45 minutes north from where I was when I had my sighting. And he was talking about he saw the exact same craft. And I kind of did the math in my head around the time period, and it pretty well matched up with, you know, when he was describing. I want to say he saw his in like September of 2012, maybe. But I remember him saying he worked at the airport in Evansville. And so he was very familiar with aircraft. He'd never seen anything like it. And so when I was listening to this story, not only was I now working in this town he mentions on your podcast, but I was also working directly next to the airport. And when I say next to, I mean, I could have taken 200 steps, looked out the bay door, and there is the fence and the end of the runway. So it was just this weird synchronicity. I don't chalk that up to anything, but I thought it was just interesting enough for me to call in. I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you, caller. You know, I don't know that there are aliens either. I have a feeling these black triangles might be ours. In other words, I'm pretty sure the military is behind these sightings. Now, where they got all that technology to create this craft in the first place, that might be where aliens come in. Both legend and congressional testimony claim that reverse engineering of unidentified craft have occurred within our military ranks. And if that is true, then essentially anything is possible. And that anything can manifest itself as a city block-sized craft hovering overhead. And we've certainly heard enough of these stories to know that something real is going on.
Stop the crime from happening in the first place.
What if cutting edge technology and legal safety?
I think in the
or seven angels, each of them carrying a little vial,
Now, for the second half of tonight's double feature, please enjoy Season 18, Episode 41, already in progress. All right, folks, it's time to go beyond the after show, where we share a few more calls for the most diehard of fans. And if you'd like to learn how to join us, rewind this episode back about 8 minutes, or visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. It's there that you'll hear stories like John's out of the state of Massachusetts.
Hi, my name is John. I live in Massachusetts, and I was calling to tell a story that happened to my grandmother and my aunts and uncles. I should say my grandfather was not my grandmother's first husband. She had married very young to someone that she was in love with, and they married and they had three children. And unfortunately, her first husband, when he was in his early to mid-20s, his appendix burst, and they tried to do surgery, but this is a very rural place, and he ended up passing away very young. They go to the funeral. My two aunts, my uncle, my grandmother, of course, everyone's very sad. Everyone's crying. And they came home after the funeral, and my grandmother said everyone was just sitting there. They're crying. Everyone's in tears. And all of a sudden, Frank, the father that had just passed away, they just came from his funeral, walked in the front door of the house and came into the living room. And she said, all the kids, my two aunts and my uncle, were happy. They're jumping up and down. Oh my God, Dad, we're so happy, so happy. And she said, no, Frank, you have to leave. You're dead. You can't be here. You're dead. Leave, Frank, leave. And my aunts and uncles, they got very upset with her. They're saying, no, Mom, why are you telling Dad to leave? He's back. This is great. Why are you doing this? And so he ended up walking out the house and left. Obviously, no one ever saw him again. He was deceased. So my grandmother told me this story. She's in her early 90s now. She told me about 10 years ago, so she would have been in her 80s at the time. And I was kind of like, okay, Grandma, she's not like a real storyteller, but you just never know. I asked my aunt about it. She said, yeah, our dad walked in the house, and all of a sudden it was like the best thing ever. And then our mother started saying, you have to leave, you have to leave. And we were very upset. We didn't understand why she was telling him this. So then I later asked my uncle, who I worked for at the time, and I kind of caught him off guard, I think. We were private, just me and him in his office. And I said, hey, Grandma told me this story. He stopped what he was doing. And I remember the look on his face. And he said, she told you about that? And I said, yeah. He said, you know, it's exactly like Grandma said. He walked in the house. We were all so happy. And next thing you know, Grandma was saying, you have to leave. You're dead. You have to leave. And then he walked out of the house and we never saw him again. I mean, he's deceased. It's a crazy story. The thing that's strange to me, though, is that I've told some of my cousins the story. My grandmother, of course, still says it's true. My aunt says it's true. My uncle, though, I've asked my uncle about it subsequently, the one that told me that it was true. He denies that he told me it was true, and he denies that it ever happened. He says, you're making the story up, Grandma's making it up, and I never told you it was true. And I know for an absolute fact he did. So I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if he's embarrassed and didn't think I was going to tell other people about it or something, and he's afraid people will think he's crazy. I don't know. And there's one last piece of information. We actually live on an island, so it's a pretty secluded place, and there's very few people. This would have taken place in the early 50s. So people would have known, you know, it's not like they separated or something and she told the kids he died. Not like that. We know where he's buried. He has a grave site. And it's a very small community. And also the fact that it's an island, there's no bridge that goes to the island. He couldn't just take off in the middle of the night. Back in those days, that's the only way to get there would have been a boat. I asked my grandmother and my aunt, they both confirmed the same thing, that when he reappeared after his death, after the funeral, he looked physically solid. It would be like me or you standing in the room. He didn't look wispy. You couldn't see through him. Both my grandmother and my aunt confirmed, you know, he opened the door and walked into the house. It wasn't like he appeared in the room or walked through a wall or something like that. He physically looked like a human being and he interacted with the environment. He never said any words. I just thought that might be interesting for some people to know. I'm not sure how common it is for a full body apparition to A, look completely normal, B, be able to physically interact with the environment like that, but that's what it was in this case. Anyways, that's the story I've been told. And like I said, it's been confirmed by multiple sources in my family who I don't believe are making it up. Anyways, thank you very much. We like the show. Keep doing what you do. Bye.
What an amazing story. Thank you, John, for sharing it with us. You know, it reminds me of a story that's been going around in my family for a number of years. This all took place somewhere between 5 and 10 years before I was even born. But my aunt and a bunch of her friends were using a Ouija board in my grandparents' home to contact my great-grandfather, who had recently passed away at the time. Well, according to the story, not only did he reply, but he actually came back, knocked on the front door, according to the story I've been told numerous times. Now, years ago, when I first started this little program, I asked my aunt to share that story with me so I could tell it in full on one of the episodes. But unfortunately, she declined to go into further detail. But she did reiterate that the events did take place. But I think that pales in comparison to what happened to your family, John. There was actual interaction there. The children saw him. They hugged him. Your grandmother spoke to him. And everyone present seems to have the exact same story. Well, it's crazy stuff, whatever happened. And it's my kind of story. So thank you again, John, for taking the time to share it here with us.
No sense or nonsense?
Nonsense!
Get this limited time deal at
future. Now, how about that, folks? What a way to kick off the Beyond. And what a pleasure it is to have you here with us tonight. Now, per usual, I have a few calls selected to share with a select few listeners. The squad, if you will. So let's get right into it. This next entry is out of Texas as well. In full disclosure, it does briefly mention suicide. But trust me when I say no details are given. So please welcome James to tonight's airwaves.
Hey Derek, this is James from Texas. I wanted to kind of talk about a situation that I found myself in these past few months that kind of revolved around a haunted or some sort of item that had some negative attachment to it. So, backstory on it, my wife and I decided to move to Fort Worth from the San Antonio area about a year ago. I got an offer from a job. You know, it's kind of one of those jobs of a lifetime type of situations. And you accept it and you don't even think twice about it. And you pick up your life and move. And got to Fort Worth and started looking at a house, found a house, bought a house. Kind of went through the motions there, started a new job and just kind of kept going. Well, I've had a friend for quite some time that honestly, he's had a lot of demons in his life. He went through drug situations. He went through alcohol situations. He even tried to commit suicide once and failed, which I know a lot of times that could be even more traumatic. He just had a lot of issues. And now myself, I'm very strong in my faith. And he always looked at myself and my wife as kind of people who could always lean on and talk to and cry to and just so on and so forth. And we would kind of not be too judgmental about the situation and just kind of be there for him. Well, he had been bugging me for a long time that we needed to hang out. We needed to talk about some stuff. He had just gone through even more issues and he just wanted to talk. So I decided whenever we moved to Fort Worth, I would have him help me move all my stuff. Because it was a pretty big move. San Antonio to Fort Worth was probably about 4.5 to 5 hours. So it was a pretty big move. So I was like, all right, well, why don't you fly in and, you know, kind of help me get set up and et cetera, et cetera. So in May of 2021, he came down, helped me move, and everything seemed normal, if you will. He, you know, wasn't too crazy and everything went fairly well. Well, about 6 months after that, so he left, went home. You know, didn't talk to him for a little while. He ended up going through a lot more stuff. Ended up going even further downhill after that. He was good for about a month after he came down, but then he just spiraled down out of shape pretty badly and tried to commit suicide again. And then he got arrested for stealing money from his parents and just all kinds of chaos and stuff. And myself, I started noticing changes in our house within that first 6 months. Not only that, my wife, you know, this is our fifth house we've lived in, and we've never had any big paranormal issues in any of our homes. And so, you know, it hadn't been that big of a deal. Well, my wife kind of started waking me up in the middle of the night saying that she heard footsteps, or she heard talking or whispering. She always thought it was outside. I kind of put it to, you know, us moving from a very rural area in the San Antonio area to a very urban area. And just kind of put it towards that. But she kept waking me up in the middle of the night saying that she thought she saw somebody out the window, the shadow of somebody, just all kinds of stuff. And there was even one time where she woke me up at midnight and she said that the door had opened by itself. Now, we have a return in our master bedroom. And of course, sometimes when that return kicks on, you know, it can move a door, opens it up a little bit. But she said it swung all the way open very, very slowly. But we just kind of pushed it off to just that air vent and that return kind of pulling the door open. But these things kind of kept going. Now, on my side, my world, for whatever reason, just changed. It started getting very, very negative. And never had any of the situations happen before. But it started turning very, very negative for myself. Ended up finding myself in some really bad situations at work and just a bad situation overall. So everything just got negative around me and my home. I ended up getting in a situation where a random rumor that came up in the company I was at ended up costing me my job, actually. And after that happened, I started going down the tube as far as just being very, very isolated. You know, I kind of would always isolate myself, just being very, very depressed. And just, man, I mean, life unraveled. And it was just something I've never, ever, ever thought I would experience. And, of course, never did experience until this moment. Well, fast forward to, I ended up getting a new job. And fast forward this past February, I was up in the second story of our house. And that's where I kind of kept all my work clothes. The job that I got, it required me to leave the house about 5 in the morning. So I'm always getting ready upstairs so I don't wake anybody up. So I was always up there, and I was always using this one particular closet. And for whatever reason, I was up there. I was cleaning up, putting my clothes up, hanging them up in the closet, kind of getting that organized. And all of a sudden, man, just this overwhelming intensity. That's the best way I can explain it. Just an intense feeling came over me. Can't say it was negative. Can't say it was positive. It was just intense, just electric static. And it felt like it was leading me to this closet I always go to. And to kind of give an idea on this closet, it's kind of one you pull both the doors open, and there's a shelf about eye level, and, you know, it's open down below and what have you. Well, I opened it up because, again, I was really being drawn to this closet, and all of a sudden, just right in front of me, again, the shelf was eye level. You could see all the way across the top. I'd never seen this before, and it wasn't like it was junky or anything. It was just there. There was a dime, a 10-cent dime sitting there, and it was just odd, and that intensity was just drawing me to this dime. And immediately I knew something was attached to that dime. And I know it sounds crazy, but something was attached to that dime, and I knew I had to get it out. I mean, again, I'm very, very, very strong in my faith, very, very much of a Christian. And you just know when evil's there. You just know something evil is there. And so I immediately started praying, whatever's attached to this dime, you're not welcome here. You must follow this dime. And I knew what I needed to do. I needed to throw it outside. And so I picked it up very, very, very slowly, not to drop it or anything. And dude, this dime felt like it weighed a ton. And I know that's probably just nerves and everything else, but it just weighed so much. And all this intensity around, and it was just crazy. But I continue to repeat, whatever's attached to this dime, you're not welcome here. You must follow this dime wherever it goes. You must leave this home when this dime leaves this home. And I kept saying this, walking very, very, very slowly downstairs, going down to our front door. I threw the dime out in the front door, didn't even watch to where it landed, but threw it in the front. And all of a sudden, man, the intensity stopped. The air cleared out. It was just such a night and day moment. And I don't know how to explain it. It was just so refreshing that this dime was now gone. After that, the stuff that my wife was experiencing stopped. And she hasn't experienced anything ever since then. My life has changed. They actually promoted me in the job, and now I'm doing what I love, making more money than what I was making. Everything just bounced right back up, plus some. And it was after I threw this dime out the front door. But going back to this dime and this friend, whenever that friend had come and stayed with me to help me move in, I started remembering all these things that were happening. Started kind of looking back to when he was there. When he was there moving us in, the subdivision that we moved into was a very, very nice subdivision. I already had made friends with the neighbors, talking to them. Nothing ever bad happened over there. And I promise you, the first night he was there, there was a cop just right up the street from us. There had been a domestic violence thing, and people were just like, well, what happened here? This has never happened in our subdivision. And then just weird things in the subdivision were happening just on that weekend he was there. And he even made the comment, it's like, man, you know, what's going on? Y'all move here and everything goes. I'm like, no, dude, everything was great till you're here. So we were kind of joking about it. But it was just hitting me all of a sudden, you know, a couple weeks after I threw this dime out. And then, you know, all the bad stuff started happening to me, and it all revolved around this dime. Well, this is the same room that he stayed in. And I got thinking about it when we were moving. He had cash, and he paid for a drink using cash, and he had change left over. And he put his change on that shelf. And I guess there was a dime left from that change. And that's the only thing I could think of, is that whatever demons were attached to him, whatever negativity was attached to him. Again, he's continued to spiral down. I've kind of lost touch with him. He has done some really bad things since then, and I just have completely let go of him. But whatever evil that was attached to him, a piece of it resonated in that dime, and it caused my life just to fall apart while it was there. And as a religious, faithful person, I just thank God every day after that. I feel like he was leading me to that dime. And that's why I just, again, it wasn't negative, it wasn't positive, it was just intense. And I feel like he was just leading me to that dime, because I had prayed and prayed and prayed that whatever was going on in my life causing all these bad things would just go away. And, you know, you start really questioning your faith. And I think he answered that by really leading me to that dime and throwing it out. And whenever everything came back in my head that it was the friend who left the dime there and all the negativity that was attached to him, man, it was just overwhelming and still is to think about it. But since then, since February, man, things have been going great. Nothing but love in my house now, like it's always been. So anyway, I wanted to share that story. It's a personal story. I hadn't even really told my wife, to be honest with you. I don't want to give her any heebie-jeebies or anything like that. But yeah, man, it was just a crazy, crazy situation. And you cannot say anything except it was a paranormal situation. If anybody's out there going through all kinds of crap, if you're sitting there thinking, man, why is my life just doing what it's doing? Really, really stop. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, again, I'm faithful. I prayed about it. But whatever you do, think about it, pray about it, whatever you do, be open to be led to what's happening in your life. Even a simple thing as a dime that I found can change your life if you get rid of it and you get rid of it correctly. So anyway, I want to share that story. And oh, another little piece of this, and this is a big piece. Our neighbor two house down, I saw him in our camera bend down in our front yard. And anyway, he ended up committing suicide himself not too long after my friend left. So that was another big piece of the puzzle. I don't know if he was grabbing the dime or what, but it was just odd occurrences. Anyway, bud, appreciate it, Derek. I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, James. Now, not that I have a ton of free time these days, but when I do, one of the hobbies I like to fill my time with, and I've been doing so for over 40 years now, is metal detecting. I'll find a place that used to be a park or an old house or stagecoach stop or something, and I run my detector over it and uncover all sorts of historical treasure, mostly old coins and some jewelry. Anyway, my first thought here was that some poor schmuck with a metal detector is going to find that dime, and all hell is going to break loose. I feel for whoever that might be. But then, there at the end of his call, James mentioned that a neighbor possibly found the dime and met an untimely end. Which makes me wonder if maybe you should have tossed that dime just a little bit further, James, out of harm's way. But as someone that's had a solid 8-year string of bad luck, I feel your pain, James, and I find inspiration in your tale. And I hope that sometime soon I find my version of that dime, because we sure could use the luck. Thank you again, James, for sharing your amazing phone call.
I'm with you.
But can't afford thousands a month? You need work.
Very affordable for almost.
That is not nonsense.
I mean, talk about bringing back the.
All right, folks, I have one more story for you tonight. For this one, meet me up in Washington State, where Amanda has a story in store for us.
Hi, all. My name is Amanda. I'm in Washington, and the haunted house that we lived in is located in Western Washington in Linwood. And the house was built in the 1940s and just had a few experiences. They were scary, but they were nothing super aggressive or anything like that. So the first instance I had, we had just moved into the house and my bedroom was in what used to be the garage, and it had been converted into a bedroom. And then off of the garage was the laundry room. We had just moved in, we were unpacking, and my mom, dad, and brother all had left to go get dinner, and I stayed home alone. I remember unpacking my room. I have pretty good peripheral vision, and I saw standing just a little bit past the entranceway of my bedroom was a tall shadow, just kind of standing there and staring at me. It didn't have eyes, but it just felt that. And of course, when I turned, it was gone. But I remember searching the whole house. Doors were all locked and everything. It freaked me out. So I told my family about it when they got back. And then in the laundry room, right off my bedroom, above that, there's a little hidden room. I would go under that room, and there was many a time I'd hear noises, scratching, thumping, sometimes footsteps. It was pretty creepy. I had another instance where I had a coffee cup, finished my drink, I put it on the counter for later, and I put it back near the wall because we have animals and didn't want to risk it getting knocked off. And I went to walk away, and I heard a crash, and I turned around, and my coffee cup's on the ground broken. And this all happened. We bought the house in 1999. We lived in about 6 years. So I was a junior in high school at the time. And in 2 years, I graduated high school and I moved out of the house. And then I ended up having to move back into the house after I graduated high school 2 years later. When I moved back into the house, I had a boyfriend and my brother had taken over my room downstairs. I'd moved upstairs to where it originally had been all attic. Well, they converted a portion of the attic into a bedroom, and then you had three additional parts that were still the raw attic. So you had a long part that kind of had a ledge that, me being 5'1", I had to have like a chair or a short ladder to get up in there. Then there was another room that was part of the roof that came down that faced the street. And then you had another little room that faced the back. Well, that little room was where the noises would come from. And that room always creeped me out just for some reason. And so one night, me and my boyfriend were sleeping and I woke up to him talking. So I woke up and I asked him who he was talking to. And he said there's a little girl he was talking to and that she had went into that little creepy room and disappeared through the wall. Ugh. Then we had one more experience. It was me, my boyfriend, my brother, my brother's girlfriend, my dad, were all up in the long attic. We all were sitting in a circle because my brother's girlfriend had this chain with like a stone on the end and she was using it to communicate. So on a piece of paper, we wrote yes or no. And the chain was supposed to swing to whatever the ghost yes or no answer was. And so we all sat there and we tried it. And we asked, you know, is there a ghost here? And the chain swung to yes. I think the next question we asked, was it evil? It swung to no, that it wasn't bad. And then we asked it a few more questions and it would answer yes or no. And it was cool. I remember we were sitting there and the room was, it wasn't in the winter or anything like that. So it was just comfortable. And I remember the more questions we asked, the slower the room got cold. And it got to a point where we all had goosebumps and you could see our breath. So we just sat around, asked the questions. And then one of them suggested turning the light off. I don't like the dark. That was the point where I was like, okay, I'm done. And I left. Nothing super scary ended up happening, but they weren't in there very long with the light off because I think everybody else got creeped out. It was a quite interesting experience, but we all ended up moving out of the house and kind of went our separate ways after that. Thank you so much for listening to me and love the podcast. Have a good day.
Thank you, Amanda. Sounds like a lot of creepy experiences. And speaking of creepy experiences, I hope you had more than one of those here tonight. Because it's been a real pleasure to spend time with you. But that's gonna do it for tonight. Just a little something to make up for missing this episode. And hopefully what we have in store for you on Thursday will make amends. Until then, however, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a like and follow on our social media accounts. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. Join our Discord. And leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. Now don't forget you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UNX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And lastly, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu, Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Pad Audio. Now to watch our movie, go to BorregoTriangle.com, and it's free to watch on Tubi. You just have to download the app. And to join us in the beyond, to get content just like what you heard here this evening, just visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. All right, folks, I'll see you on Thursday. Don't forget your tent and your sleeping bag. Keep it spooky, and have yourselves a good night.
Messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.